Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business, all from home, from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online, downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
You would be amazed how many people are interested in selling their business. So what we would do is we would approach businesses that haven't even gone on the market. So there isn't a broker involved in it, because brokers are a pain in the butt, because the thing that they want to see is they want to see the cash in the bank. But you don't have the cash in the bank. So you want to bypass the broker as much as possible. So we just went straight to the businesses. These are people. It's just like going up to a piece of real estate that's not on the market, knocking on the door and saying to the vendor, saying to the person what lives there, hey, loved your house, are you interested in selling it to me? It's exactly the same thing as that. And in fact, the parallels between buying a house and buying a business are massive. So if you ever bought a house, you can buy a business.
Hi, this is Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Just by chance, I had received an email from a gentleman who had ordered Art Hamill's course almost a year and a half ago. In the email, he was letting me know that he was going to be moving from the UK to San Diego, and he wanted some advice on some places to live. And just in the email at the end, he said, oh, by the way, I have bought a business using Art Hamill's system. Well, you know, when I hear something like that, I've got to find out the true story behind it. So I said, I'll make you a deal. If you tell me how you bought the business using Art Hamill's system, I will tell you everything you need to know about San Diego and moving here, best schools, etc. So we had an agreement, and that's what you're going to hear. But you're only going to hear this section about buying a business. This gentleman's name is Neil, and you'll hear how he was able to use Art Hamill's system that he ordered almost a year and a half ago and was able to purchase a business that he estimates may bring him over $1 million. So let's get ready, and here we go. Tell me what your name is, and how long ago did you order the Art Hamill system?
Okay, my name is Neil Asher from the United Kingdom, and I ordered Art System, it would have been about 18 to 20 months ago.
You bought a business before?
I've bought a business before, yeah, but in the main, what I've done is I've started businesses from scratch and then been on the selling end of them. And I actually purchased it because I was wanting to learn how to sell a business more effectively, and I figured that the program, if it was teaching people how to buy businesses, it would also vicariously teach you how to sell them as well, which it did, and did that very, very well.
So what was your impression after going through all the material?
You know what, I thought there was an absolute shed load of information in there, which up until that point had been very, very elusive. And what really struck me was Art's a guy that's doing it, and I'm a really big believer in learning from people who are out there in the trenches, making deals, making money, putting things together, buying and selling, and they're actually, you know, they're not kind of like a stay-at-home guru. They're actually out and about and actually doing it. They're getting their fingers dirty.
What was the plan? Okay, you went through the material, and then you wanted to use the information to buy a business or sell a business?
Sell a business, which I did. I had a business over in Australia that I sold.
What were you doing?
We had a training, like an adult education business over there. So it's like a training company. So we set that up, and I thought that I'd set that up in a very strategic way to go about selling it. What I wasn't sure about was the best way of structuring it from a financial point of view for somebody to buy it so that I could maximize the amount of money that we'd be able to make from it. And one of the things that Art teaches is how to go about buying a business when you've got none of your own money. So I wanted to give somebody the opportunity to do that within that company, which we did. And again, it was basically done on a kind of like a management buyout, like an MBO, I guess.
Right. How long did it take to do it?
3.5 months, which is actually very fast. Usually these things take a lot longer. But that was 3.5 months to get the thing, kind of the contracts in place, get everything set up so that everybody was happy with it, and negotiate a price that was fair. And we used a ArtScout's great system for valuing a business, and it's very, very quick, very, very precise, and it kind of gives you like a really good snapshot of what a business is worth based on different industries. It's a very kind of formulaic, very systemized way of doing it. I thought it was very fair. The people that we sold, the management felt it was very fair as well. So we followed that system, and because of that, I feel we got a very good outcome for everybody involved.
How were you able to find your buyers? Did you use a broker, or did you advertise it yourself?
No, we advertised ourselves. One of the things that Art talks about is don't use a broker, and having had experience in the past of that, I'll echo that as well. Brokers take a 10% cut. And it's essentially, you know, I don't know if you've ever sold a piece of property like a real estate or something like that. Not all brokers are created equal. Some guys do phenomenal work, but I would say that 95% of them don't. That goes the same for business brokers as well. So I felt that because of the marketing courses I've done, and because I really understood the business as well, and because I was in a situation where I wasn't necessarily rushed to actually sell it, that I thought, A, it would be fun to sell it myself, B, it would be great experience, and C, you know, I felt like I could do as good a job as 95% of the people out there.
So when you advertise it, what medium brought you the best qualified leads?
The local business press. So there's like what would be equivalent to the Wall Street Journal in the US. There's a similar thing called the Financial Review in Australia. And we just advertised it in there.
So when calls came in, I mean, were you flooded with calls? And how did you leverage your time in explaining the business? Or did you talk to each individual caller one-on-one?
No, we weren't flooded with calls. And the advert was written so that we wouldn't be. It was written in a very qualifying kind of way so that we could make sure that the people who actually called were serious, first and foremost. I didn't want kind of tire kickers around wasting my time. So we made the advert for the business incredibly, like, you really had to qualify, and it gave you a lot of information right up front so that you'd read it and go, well, yeah, that's for me, or, you know what, that's not really for me. So we didn't kind of do like a bait and switch or anything like that. I wasn't interested in getting leads. I was interested in finding qualified buyers.
Did you set up a meeting in person before you went over everything, or did you try and do a lot of it over the phone with the callers?
It was initially over the telephone. And really the only thing that we wanted to establish over the telephone is it was more a character kind of telephone call. So just see if I got along with somebody, see if you pretty much know instantly if you get along with somebody or not. And so we established that first and foremost. Then the next thing we established was the equity situation, because we were going to leverage the kind of secure the business against their equity, and that's how we could do basically a no money down kind of thing for them. And then also just talk through some of the more finer kind of terms and conditions that we want to put in place as well. And again, that was done pretty much on, like, you know, this we were just playing our hand very, very openly so that people could see exactly what we were about, exactly what we wanted, and that way we really leveraged our time because of that. And, you know, out of the, I think we've got about 7 or 8 people who were interested in business. Out of those 7 or 8, we had 2 people we actually met based on that telephone conversation. Again, that kind of pre-qualifying process. So there's 2 people we actually met, and then obviously one of them was a buyer.
And did you get your asking price?
I got very, very close to it. I think within the Hamel formula, it came out to be about 3.5 times the EBIT, which is what I wanted. I actually wanted 4, but, you know, I was happy to go for 3.5. Although, you know, it's always a little contentious kind of establishing what the exact EBIT figure is. But it was done in a very simple way, and the way we structured it was, we, again, based on what Art taught, is we put certain clauses into the sale contract that meant that if we had basically bullshitted, if we told lies about what the business was doing, then the business owner had the right to renegotiate the contract based on the real figures rather than the rubbish we fed them.
Did you use your own solicitor or attorney, and did they do the same?
I use a company which I've used on a couple of different occasions, and what I've got a good relationship with them. I tend to use mid-tier law firms. Like, there's a top 4, just like in every country, there's a top 4 that are basically run and owned by public companies, and they're mostly on retainer by public companies. And because of that, they charge a fortune. And what tends to happen is the public companies will keep all the 4 law firms on retainer at all times just to stop other people getting into litigation with them. And so because of that, it actually ramps up the fees. So We use mid-tier firms, and that's been very successful for us because of that.
Were you able to get those attorneys to ride along with you until the closing, or did you pay them up front?
No, we had to pay up front. We drafted something what's called a heads of agreement, and the heads of agreement is basically the layman's way of talking about what you intend to do in the contract. So we'll put it into normal people speak, and we'll make it as detailed as we possibly can. And if you spend a little bit of time doing that and get down everything, I mean, it's all in the planning. If you get all that down about what you both want from it, then it becomes a much easier document for the lawyers to draft up, and it can be drafted up right at the very last minute if you spend time doing the heads of agreement properly.
All right, so did you use this system to buy a business as well?
Yeah.
All right, tell me about that.
7 months ago, we found that one of the things we wanted to do with a company we got over in the UK was add a basically like a governmentally recognized division to it. And we looked at actually either buying an existing business, buying a what I would call a broken business or a business that's going into receivership, or setting up ourselves. And we decided that on this particular occasion, it would make a lot more sense for us to leverage time by buying something which had already been established and already had relationships, etc. So we were sort of looking, started the research process. Again, we just did exactly what Art taught, which is to contact the businesses that you're interested in directly and speak to people directly.
How did you do that?
There's a letter that is laid out for you, and all I literally did was I just copied it verbatim. I sent it out to 23 companies that I was interested in acquiring that I knew had what I wanted to get. I sent it to those guys. And the letter is very, very simple. It essentially says we're a cash buyer looking for X, Y, and Z in a business. We understand that your business meets these criteria. If you're interested in selling and interested in meeting with us to discuss this more, call this number.
How many responses do you remember getting?
95%.
You sent it out to 20 and about 95% responded?
You would be amazed how many people are interested in selling their business. So what we would do is we would approach businesses that haven't even gone on the market. So there isn't a broker involved in it, because brokers are a pain in the butt, because the thing that they want to see is they want to see the cash in the bank. But you don't have the cash in the bank. So you want to bypass the broker as much as possible. So we just went straight to the businesses. These are people. It's just like going up to a piece of real estate that's not on the market, knocking on the door and saying to the vendor, saying to the person what lives there, hey, loved your house. Are you interested in selling it to me? It's exactly the same thing as that. And in fact, the parallels between buying a house and buying a business are massive. So if you ever bought a house, you can buy a business. It's pretty much exactly the same process.
Who was returning the calls?
The guys that own the companies. And what happens is they're curious, you know. They want to know what they either want to know what their business is worth, or they want to get the hell out of it. They're totally bored and they want to get the hell out of it. And if they're curious and not really the kind of fence sitters, what happens is they go home to their wives and they say to their wives, honey, you know, I read a letter today, somebody's interested in buying the business, I don't think I want to sell. And the wife will go, okay, cool. And a little bit of time will pass, and, you know, businesses, they go up and down, just like emotions do. They have their kind of, they have an emotion. So the next week, the guy might go home and go, you know what, this bloody business, it's doing my head in. And my wife will go, well, you know, you've got that letter from that guy who's interested in selling it, why don't you give him a call? So it just happens over a period. We've got 95% of people who, you know, eventually called us to say, so what's on the table? What are you offering? People are incredibly motivated, and anybody will sell at the right price. And if you cut out the broker, which you are doing by using Art System, if you cut out the broker, it's incredible what you can achieve. It really, really is.
So when they called, a lot of people who've done Art's course are concerned that they don't have the credibility, and they're concerned when the business owner calls that, like, you would have to prove yourself to them. Did that materialize, or was that just an unfounded fear?
It's totally unfounded. And I can understand why people might feel that way. What I would say to them is, I'm going to use the real estate analogy because it's a very, very simple analogy, and it really is apt for this. If you went up to somebody and asked them...
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.
If you knocked on the door and just said to them, look, I think your house is absolutely lovely. I'd love to talk about buying it from you. The first thing they say to you is, fantastic, come in, have a cup of tea, sit down, and let me show you around the place. That's the first thing they'll say to you. What they don't say to you is, have you got the money? Nobody says that to you, and it's exactly the same thing when you go into a business. 99% of the entrepreneurs I know love talking about their businesses. They like nothing more than sitting down with a coffee and showing you the businesses, showing what they've been up to, teaching you about it. You know, these guys, they love their businesses. So the first thing they want to do is they want to talk to you about their business, talk to you about why you're interested in their business and what exactly brought you to the business. The last thing that comes up mostly is money. That's the last thing that people want to talk about, you know, in the beginning. Ultimately, that does come up, of course. But in the beginning, you will get an inordinate amount of information. You can do an inordinate amount of your due diligence process just by having a chat with them, going around to their offices, meeting them for an hour and asking them a lot of questions. And they'll give you that time, particularly if they want to sell, they'll give you that time, they'll talk to you. They'll give you an incredible amount of information that they want. They're all nice people, you know. People have got this idea that business people are absolute assholes, but I find that nothing could be further from the truth. The people I talk to are just the most incredible individuals, you know. They've built these fantastic companies. They've had a ball doing it, and they're at a point now where they're either bored with it, you know, they're entrepreneurs, they want to move on to the next thing, or they're wanting to retire, or they want to realize the value of the business, or whatever it is for them. But they're, you know, everybody's got a reason for wanting to sell, and everybody will sell for the right price.
Tell me what your plan was. Was your plan to get into it with no money using some of the financing techniques that Art teaches in the course?
That would have been my perfect situation, and that's what we pushed for. We didn't get that in the end. We had to put some money in from another source, but I can talk about that in a second for you. We were less interested in the profitability of the business. I'm more interested in the systems and processes of the business because we wanted something we could bolt on to an existing business that would enhance that business. And for a lot of people, say if they haven't been in business before, that's something very interesting to know, is that it's not always about the bottom line of a business. Sometimes it's about what that business can do for another business. What are the opportunities when you put two things together? And what are the unrealized assets within those two businesses that can be the main thing? So the profitability was less important. What was most important was the government saying that those businesses could carry on doing a certain sort of business and the government offering and accrediting those businesses as well. So that's what we were looking for. We were looking to fast-track that.
So what type of business did you buy? Can you discuss that?
Yeah, sure. It was a training business. And we were looking for a fast way to get government accreditation for a training company so that we could leverage some programs that we had into a different marketplace that we're wanting to go to.
And there were multiple types of businesses out there that you were looking at in that same category?
Exactly, yeah. You know, they're very, very easy to find. I mean, literally all we did was went through the yellow pages in Google. So we would just type into, like, Google what sort of business we were looking for. So if I was looking for a manufacturing company, I would type in that sort of manufacturing company in Google and bring you up a listing of different businesses like that. Or our yellow pages, I'm not sure what the equivalent would be over in the States, but within the UK, our yellow pages, if I just look at particular businesses, it gives you addresses and telephone numbers, and then by calling the businesses, you can get contact information, and then you just send them the letter that's in the system.
So training businesses, that's not really a manufacturing business, more of a service business.
It's Art, very much a service business.
Yeah, Art definitely favors manufacturing, and maybe because it was a service business, a business that you understood and had been involved in, maybe that was why you really weren't able to use the financing techniques.
I mean, we did it in a kind of convoluted sort of way, but we still used another person to secure the business again. So we leveraged their assets, what they had within some commercial real estate, which is something that Art teaches. So we leveraged their assets within that. We provided them with a better rate of return because the commercial real estate market at the minute is quite depressed in England, as I'm sure it is in the States as well, and the returns are low in the 3 to 4% range. Because we'd done our homework and because we'd done a business plan, which actually, Michael, was one of the things that you helped me with there when you gave me all the information on the business plan.
Did that help you?
That helped incredibly. In fact, we blatantly, you know, we took one of the business plans, again, pretty much verbatim, and just changed on certain things within it to go about raising the capital. And we did that for our accountant. And most accountants will be able to help you do that.
So you had a private investor secure the business, right?
That's right.
So where did you find your investor? Was it a contact you knew, or did you have to go out cold?
No, I went to the accountants. So again, something that our teachers just go to the accountants, and I just, it was very simple for me. My accountant that I use within my current businesses, I just said to him, look, this is what I want to do. This is the business plan for that. This is the rate of return they're making. Do you know anybody who would be interested in looking at this deal? If the deal looks good, the accountant is very happy to recommend it to somebody because they'll look good as a result of it.
So the accountant recommended someone, and that person used the money to finance the deal.
Exactly. And the fear could be, and I know because I've had this myself, is that, who's going to recommend that to you? But the thing to realize is if a deal is good, you do not have a problem getting money. Money is easy to get if you've got a deal. I mean, if you've got a deal that will work, money flies at you. You will not believe it. It really, really does. It's not hard to raise money if you've got a good deal. The thing that's difficult to do is to do the work and get the deal. But you don't need skills to do that. You just need to do the work.
The work is doing your research, putting together the business plan, making the calls to the accountant.
Exactly.
Just because you got an investor, that meant you didn't have to give away half the business, right?
Exactly. We didn't give away. I mean, what we did was something called a convertible note, which again is something what Art talks about. And a convertible note, all that means is that essentially you have a free. So if somebody lends you, say, $1 million, they lend it against the asset of the business. If after the term of the loan you haven't repaid it, then the loan converts into equity and they own a percentage of the business, and you obviously negotiate that up front. But if you've repaid it, then you repay it with the interest. The loan doesn't convert into equity.
Yeah, that makes sense, and that's how you set it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Good job. Did you ever talk to Art or do any consulting with him?
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't?
I never felt the need to. I felt like I got everything I needed from the tape sets. I mean, I listened to them a lot. And I kind of took notes, and any time I was at a particular stage of a business buying or selling process, I just listened to that particular phase in there. It's laid out very logically, so it's pretty simple to follow. Anything that I wasn't sure of from a taxation point of view or from a legal point of view, I would just ask. So, you know, I didn't personally find it a difficult thing to do. I mean, the biggest thing to overcome is your fear of doing it, and once you've done the first one, you realize how simple they are. It's like anything.
So you're planning on moving to the U.S. The business is there in the U.K. How do you plan on staying on top of that? A lot of people have the fear that they can't operate or run a business if they're living somewhere else. What concerns do you have?
Absolute crap. I mean, nothing. Again, if you have to be there, you don't own a business. You own a job. And for me, that's been one of the biggest realizations that I've had is I've got to work myself out of the businesses all the time. So I'm diligent about writing what I do in a day, and then finding ways that I can either outsource that or delegate that or get that done, and then putting a system in place to do that, and then putting checks and measures in so that I know what's happening within the company.
Did you have good management in place, and how important was that in your decision?
Generally speaking, I don't put managers into the businesses, and there's a couple of different reasons for that, but I guess the biggest one is that one thing I've learned is that I can outsource anything within a business to outside service providers and hold them accountable for results. I always try and mitigate the amount of people I have who work for me on a full-time basis, and I have to pay them regardless of how well the business is doing. I always try and get a situation where I have what's called variable costs rather than fixed costs. So within all the businesses that I own, they're all set up so that pretty much all of the people that work within the businesses are variable costs rather than fixed costs. So if the business has a bad month for whatever reason during one month, it doesn't hurt the business. The business is still okay because the costs fluctuate as the revenue fluctuates.
How much did the investor want to know about the business? Was he real concerned about it, or was he just, because it was endorsed or referred by as an accountant, he really wasn't interested except a better return on his money?
No, he was interested. He wanted to know a lot about it. You know, we did our research on it. Again, we followed the due diligence process that's outlined in our system. So we got a lot of information together, and we basically put together just a proper business plan, I guess. And again, referring back to you, Mike, that's one of the things that I got from you, is the business plan side of things. And so everything what I knew had to go into there, we put it in there to have as much information as possible, and then we showed the investor that. And anything what wasn't in there, what he wanted to know over and above that, we would go and get directly from the business owner.
Now, a lot of the stuff I send with Art Hamill stuff is on consulting, trying to identify hidden assets within the business. And certainly with any business, there's an opportunity to grow the business. Was that part of your plan once you've got the business? I know you mentioned that the actual profitability wasn't that important at that time, but you were looking for systems and other assets, maybe intangible assets that aren't going to equate on a on the value, you know, with Art's formula. Are you planning on growing the business using marketing?
Without a doubt, yeah. In fact, we've already done an enormous amount of that. What we've basically created is a marketing system that we can overlay into any business. There's this kind of age-old thing what Dan Kennedy loves to repeat, and that's my business is different. Every single business can benefit from good marketing. I found that for me, what works best is marketing I can measure and test, and so that has to be direct response marketing. And we've got a system now where no matter what business it is that we're doing, we've got a formula that we follow. We work out what the USP is. We make sure all the marketing collaterals align with that. We get all the staff selling processes in line. We start putting measurement processes in for the staff so that everything can be kind of quantified. So, it's just a system. It's just a system that gets overlaid into the business that means you actually get to see what the business is doing. If you come from the space of if I'm in the business, that's the worst thing that I could ever do. So how can I set this business up so that at the end of the week somebody can give me a bit of paper and I'll be able to look at it and see exactly how the business is doing. So that's the space I come from. So now I just literally want to get an email at the end of the week from the people who are managing certain processes just to let me know that those processes have been done. I know if they've been done, the business is going to be working just fine.
For more interviews like this, please go to hardtofindseminars.com. Very good. Now, you've seen my stuff on the HMA stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. So you use a system, something like that, to put through and grow the businesses that you invest in.
Yeah, I mean, the HMA stuff's absolutely fantastic. I mean, there's some great stuff in there that, again, I've just taken directly from there and blatantly stole it and then applied it into a business. Because it's just such good models. I mean, the models are fantastic in there. The material's great in there, particularly a lot of the scripted stuff for telephone conversations we took. So there's some really good stuff in there. I mean, what you do, Michael, is just absolutely fantastic in terms of the level of knowledge that you've managed to put into one place. There's nothing else like it. It's just incredible.
Hey, that's exciting because, you know, a lot of people get the course. I don't hear from them, and it's just by happenstance, you email me. You said, oh, by the way, I bought a business using Art's system, and you know I had to jump on that, Neil.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And I'd be exactly the same, too. Well, look, now that I've done it once through the system, we're planning to do it again and again and again. What's happened is, I mean, you do something for the first time, you make it work, and then all of a sudden, you get people calling you, literally saying, when are you buying your next business? Do you need investors for that? It's really quite an extraordinary situation to find yourself in. And the thing I really kind of understood was that because nobody else is doing it and nobody else believes that they can do it, so few people do it. And so when you actually step outside your comfort zone and go for it, it's incredible what happens as a result of that. People line up to throw money at you so that you can go and do something you'd love to do. And for me, that was one of the, you know, I would have paid 20 times more than I did for the system just to get that belief system and that realization, because that, for me, is worth a fortune.
So a lot of people don't believe that they could literally own and control 10 or 15 businesses. Do you think that would be stretching it, or do you think with the way you're doing this, you could handle that many businesses?
I think that's all down to the individual. I think for me, right now, if I look at what my personal limitation is, I put upon myself, and that's the way I look at it as well. It's a personal limitation I put upon myself. I feel that I'm confident to do, say, 10 businesses. As you climb the mountain, you see bigger and better vistas for what's actually out there. I look at the mountain and I go, well, I can probably climb through about 10 businesses. You get to 10 businesses and you go, oh, well, you know, that's not so bad. You learn how to manage that. You learn the level of influence and mastery over yourself you've got to have that. And then you go and get 10 more. And I think that's the way it works, you know.
So how would you compare, just the last question, you've grown businesses and started them from scratch, and now you've been able to buy one that's already been built. How would you compare those two options?
It's less fulfilling, but more profitable.
So you got to let go of the ego.
Exactly.
Right. What's this business going to mean to you over the next 5-10 years? Any projections?
If it doesn't grow at all and it just it stabilizes where it's at, it will make me, over the next, say, 5 years, I don't like doing 10-year predictions, but over 5 years it will make me about $2.2 million.
All right, Neil, that's perfect. I really appreciate that. That's a great, great story. Man, my hat's off to you.
You're good. Thanks, mate. I appreciate that. And Mike, as I said, mate, it's, you know, it's down to people like you who are actually getting this information out there and constantly telling us that we can do it, that people actually go for it, mate. So, you know, I feel that it's a part of the greater shift of what's happening. And so thank you, mate. You know, I've used your resources extensively. I'm constantly on your side. I'm constantly downloading the information and listening to it and getting ideas and implementing them. And you make it all free, and, you know, it's just incredible that it is. So thank you, buddy.
That's what makes it all worthwhile, stories like this, for sure. That's the end of our recording with Neil. I hope this has been helpful, and I hope it's given you some confidence that you, too, can buy a business using some of the techniques that you'll learn from Art Hamill System. With some action, some determination, and some confidence, I am absolutely confident that you can have a success just like Neil has. Thanks for listening. There's an interview in the section of the audio recordings at Hard to Find Seminars. It's with a business buying expert. His name is Art Hamill. If you go back to my site, hardtofindseminars.com, and go to the product section, along the left side in light blue, you will see a list of topics. Look for the one that says business buying. Click on that link and you'll be taken to about 7 hours of exclusive interviews with Arthur Hamill. Arthur Hamill has purchased multi-million dollar businesses, over 200 of them in his lifetime, and he will tell you how to do the same thing. It's some fascinating content, and I wanted you to know about it.